in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what says thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for thy word again. Lord, we pray that you bless us now. Bless the singing. Bless the preaching tonight, Lord, of your word. Open our minds, your heart, our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. You can be seated.
Appreciate it so much. All right, get your Bibles there and turn to John chapter 8. And Brother Brew, like you usually do, just go on downstairs. And, you know, the sheep, they just wander off. That's why we have under shepherds. And Jesus is the true shepherd, but we're helping him get the sheep in the fold. You pray. A lot of times sheep just wander. They just wander. That's why you see some of them get up during the singing. They just start wandering off. Sometimes right before I preach, they'll start getting up and wander off. They're sheep, your sheep. And Jesus is the true shepherd, and we're just under shepherds getting his sheep in the fold. We come down, maybe check, have you check the bathrooms and check around the building. And what are we doing? What are we doing? We're gathering God's lambs. We're gathering God's sheep, your sheep. And God tells me, as a under shepherd, feed the flock of God, which the Holy Ghost have made me over, made me overseer, a bishop, so to speak, to look and to watch over the lambs, to watch over the sheep. Feed the flock of God. Jesus has purchased you with his blood. But we'll have communion in a little while. And remind us that we've been bought by his blood, and he loves us, and to love him, see? And that's why I encourage you to get all that you can get when you're in church. That's why I take time out, may send somebody downstairs, say, have them come up. Because I know sheep wander off. Sheep wander off. And that's why, thank God. And by the way, you all thank God you got a church that loves and cares, and you got a pastor that loves and cares about you. Thank God so much. God has blessed us. We have God's blessed us. We have Brother Burley as our assistant pastor. We're blessed to have him. And he helps me and goes downstairs. And so thank God somebody cares about you enough to go get you. Thank God that the Lord loves you enough that he wants you to be fed. It's eating time. It's eating time. All right? It's eating time. And so, especially when you know that the devil is working overtime, okay? Trying to distract the people. Amen? Trying to distract the people. And we care. I appreciate that, Brother Burley. Thank you for helping me out there. Luke, if you will. And you have Matthew, Mark. And you have Luke. And so we're going to go over some things here that will... I know it's helped me. I believe it's helped. I'm sorry, John, chapter 8. It's helped us. It's helped me, and I just believe that we'll just have a better spirit in the church as we study the Word of God and see what is the mind of God today. What's the mind of God saying? Well, of course, God wants us to have the right type of spirit. Of those that transgress and sin against God. And verse 3, and the scribes and the Pharisees and brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, put her right there in the midst, and grabbing these people, actually bodily putting her hand on them, no doubt, put them right in the midst of everybody. They said, their master, this woman was taken in adultery. Wow. They looking at her while she was doing it. I mean, they staring upon her, looked upon her. Can you imagine this? They look at it and caught in the very act, walked in on them while they were having their adulterous act, fornication act. You know, we're not talking about television. We're not talking about, you know, on the movie somewhere. And right there in the act. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine these people? I'm talking about hunting them down. Say, gotcha. 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 They're probably watching them. They're probably watching them for a while. that's terrible, isn't it, Brent? Folks can be very wicked. Folks can be very vicious. Isn't that right? And these Sadducees, these hypocrites, these scribes, and that's the way they were. And they caught him in the very act. Look at verse 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what says now? What says now? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. They might have to accuse him, trying to set him up, to accuse something about him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground, as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto him, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down. Look at verse 8. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. He wrote. This is amazing. When he wrote on the ground, they which heard it, being convicted. Underline this. Being convicted by their own conscience. Now, you don't know what he wrote. I told you this morning. I don't know what he wrote. But I'll tell you what. Whatever he wrote, they were convicted. They were convicted. You know what convicted means? I better get out of here before I get killed. let me tell you something. What I've been doing wrong, he knows about it. Now we don't know. You can use your imagination. Maybe he wrote down the place where they were. Hello? Maybe he wrote down something they did. Isn't that right? And whatever it is, it brought much conviction. Much conviction. And but by the way, when we get convicted, let's run to Jesus. Let's don't run away from him like they did. Some folks run to the church, run to the altar. Others can't wait to get out of here. Isn't that right? Some can handle Sunday morning, but they can't handle Sunday night. Now, I dropped some bombs this morning, a little few bombs while they're here. Because I know some of them ain't coming back tonight. But bless God, we need them bombs. Amen. We need them bombs. And thank God we got tender hearts. When people are convicted, and some of them, they get right with God, and they go on for the Lord. But you can see they're hightailing out of there and running from the preacher, see. And convicted. Now, but this conviction we need. This conviction we need, and it'll help us. Look at here, a friend, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest. Wow, beginning at the eldest. It's amazing how they went. The older. Look at that. What is it? The older. Look at this. To the eldest, even to the last one. One by one. When was Jesus writing? Maybe I know your name. I know your age. I know your name. I know your age. I know your name. We can just use our imagination. But one by one, they headed out. And look what the Bible says here in John chapter 8. And so, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where art thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And by the way, lest the worst thing happen unto you. He said in the past. Lest a worse thing happen unto you. He said it in the past to the sinners. He's a forgiving God. He's a wonderful God. And he says, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Isn't that right? Lest a worse thing come upon thee. You see? And so, we're talking about having the right type of spirit. And I want this type of spirit in our church. I want you to choose the side of Jesus Christ. I want you to be more like God. And will we be a pleader against the sinner? Or will we be a discourager? Will we be a pleader of getting right with God? Or will we be discouraged like scribes and hypocrites? What will we be? I see God as the pleader. Turn to Isaiah, if you will, in chapter 1. Turn to Isaiah. And turn to Isaiah, if you will, in the Old Testament. And they were filled with wickedness. They were filled with ungodliness. God had every right, my friend, to destroy them. God had every right to before God would bring in another nation to destroy them. Before God would bring another country in to take his people into slavery. I look at him as a pleader. God's not quickly to throw the stone. God's not quickly to destroy them. God is a pleader. Let the church say amen. And verse 18, look at the pleader. Verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come, let's reason. Let me reason together. Let me reason with you. I want you to know I have no desire to destroy you. I have no desire. I have no God has no delight in happiness and the death of the wicked. God is willing that everyone should be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want us to have the right type of spirit in our charge. I want us to get them saved. I don't want God to have to destroy them. I don't want God to have to ruin them. Sunday school teachers, let's plead with them. I don't want them to end up wrecking and ruining their lives with broken homes and jail and prison. I don't want God to take them out in this world and I understand we're living in a day and age of sin. And in Isaiah, we find that these people were sinful people. And in chapter 1, verse 3, the ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laid with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel's anger. They're gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? Yea, we'll revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. Multitudes in sin and wickedness, God's people. Yet God is the pleader. Before God brings in another nation, before God lets them get so hungry they eat their own children, before He takes their houses away, it's not time to throw rocks quickly. It's not time to throw rocks quickly. It is a time to plead with them, to pray, to cry. We need the right spirit. Not get them, God. Not get them, let them die like the person, the people that died in the coach, the bus. Let God get them on a bus. Let God get them in a car. Let somebody shoot them. No, we're not supposed to have that spirit. I told you this morning, by the grace and mercy of God, we're saved. So by the God of mercy of God, you have your house and you have your family. So by the mercy of God, you ain't got a bunch of kids with babies, daddy, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's only God's grace. And if you're not better than anybody, it's only by the grace of God, all of our kids don't have a bunch of kids out of wedlock. It's only by God's grace and mercy of God, they're not all murderers. It's only by the grace and mercy of God ourselves, they're not a bunch of murderers. God's been gracious. God's been merciful. Every one of us should be in jail. Every one of us should be in prison. Yet God has spared us. God's been great. And you that are self-righteous, you that are like the Pharisees, you that are like the scribes, that you are, oh, you walk around and look at my angel halo around my head. Don't you know who I am? We see them little horns sticking up, them devil horns coming up there. You don't see them horns rising, but we do at times. I told you, how dare us? How dare us? How double dog dare us? Have the spirit of these Sadducees and scribes. Thank God for Sunday school teachers who weep over their children in their class. Thank God for those bus drivers and bus workers that weep over the bus people that come on our bus. Thank God for you that weep and cry rather than being like the ones that want to spread their stinking gossip and get them, God. Get them. I want them saved. I want them changed. I want God's mercy. I want God's grace upon them. Well, but preacher, you said in 1 Corinthians 5, the fornicator, Paul said, let the devil destroy his flesh and destroy him. You said we ought not to eat with fornicators and adulterers and liars and thieves and bad company. We ought not to be, of course, but our spirit should not be, get them, devil. Our spirit should not be, God, get them, let the devil kill them. Let the devil kill them. No, our spirit should be, God, help them get right before it's too late. I don't want their mom and dad to have to go to their funeral. I don't want the preacher to have the broken heart. Destroy that girl. She has a child out of wedlock. Kill her, Lord. No. Let us raise some babies for Jesus. Let us pray for godly husbands for them. Let us pray for godly wives for them. Let's God ask God to bless them with Christian homes. Kill them, God. The adulterers, the fornicators. No, we pray. As the Lord deals with them, that they'll get right with God. That the Lord would help them to turn to Him. Be a pleader, a sinful nation, a nation where one was following the other. I've never seen in our nation of the United States that I've never seen all the tattoos in all my life. It scares me that every one of you girls won't get a tattoo one day. It scares me that every one of you boys is going to get a tattoo. You scare me. I said you scare me. I said, I'm very scared. I said, I know that the devil is real and the devil is active, and I know that the multitudes are following. I don't care what preacher gets them. I don't care what preacher's wife gets them. God doesn't want us to mark our bodies and follow the multitudes, and the most wicked celebrities are getting these tattoos. Multitudes are following them. Multitudes. My spirit for these tattooers, my spirit is that God will forgive you, that God wants to help you. May God not kill you. May God not kill you. May the Lord use you. May God, we got folks in our church, I told our church this morning, hey, listen, they got tattoos before they got saved or when they were backslidden. They wish they never got those tattoos. I've never seen it like that. Maybe you've seen it. I've never seen it like this. Tattoos on the heel. Tattoos on the leg. Now, they came up with the, I don't see if you've seen on the news, the model of America, the model, the Mrs. whoever she is, of what state, showing her glorified tattoo and her wickedness. And the news talked about how these are getting tattoos and their bikinis and their legs, and today they're bold and the ladies have them on their chests. There's no shame. The multitudes. What is our spirit? Is our spirit that God destroy them? No. They get right with God. God make them great soul winners. God make them bus workers. God put them in the choir. God use them as preachers. God use them as teachers. One day God's able to get a hold of their heart, and that man, he was out playing softball, was a preacher, I told you. And he got all these tattoos all over him, and he wished he didn't do it. And it was 100-degree weather, I believe it was, maybe 100-degree weather. And he was out there with a long sleeve shirt. It was a long sleeve. It was real hot. And other preachers were messing with him. Man, come on, you can wear a long sleeve. You can wear a short sleeve shirt. It ain't going to hurt you, man. It's hot out here. And take that hot garments, you know, take that long sleeve, heavy a shirt you got on. And he said, with sadness in his heart, he said, I don't want to take it off. I know I'm pastor now. And he said, I don't want people to get the wrong idea that I went out and got a bunch of tattoos all over myself. He became a preacher. I want you to know, as much as I preach against tattoos, I love you. I want you to know, as much as I preach against tattoos, your Sunday school teacher loves you. I want you to know, as much as tattoos you got, your bus driver loves you. I want you to know, as much as tattoos you got, your van driver loves you. I want you to know, as tattoos that you got, we don't want God to kill you. We don't want you to get with the jailbird. The games, Brother Burley, the games, and the little ones. And they like the basketball, and they like it. You know, I'll explain it to the little ones. And you know how we do. And the sports are coming, the football, and the NFL, and sports. The University of Tennessee, and you know what I'm talking about, sports. And we're trying to teach them. We're saying, look, just don't get caught up with the multitude. That's what them ball players are doing. The following jailbirds, the following whoremongers, the following fornicators. You don't understand it. Look, enjoy the ball, but don't. These guys are out there. They can't keep marriages. They can't keep their home. They got a bunch of money. They don't even, listen, some of them wish they never even had it. But we need to let them know that Jesus loves them. We need to have the Spirit. We don't need to have the Spirit, look like a jailbird, put them in jail. Put them in jail. They want to look like them, put them in jail. No, I preach that way. The way I preach is I don't want them to go to jail. I love them. I preach that way because I don't want them to get a bullet in their head. I don't want them to shoot somebody. I preach this way because I don't want you girls to get a guy with a bunch of tattoos on that'd be like the world and beat on you. Choke you. Ain't got enough character to stay faithful to you. Have other ladies on the side. Get other girls pregnant while you cry. Look up here while you stain your pillow with tears. Neither do I want you to end up like these girls that are getting, looking for attention, get a tattoo on their breast, get a tattoo on their neck, tattoo on their back. And you see them on the back. They're walking. And you wonder, why does that girl have that tattoo on her back? She's saying, look at me. Oh, by the way, she's getting attention. Well, look, girls, I'm proud of you. Want to look beautiful? Let me ask you a question. Why do you want to look beautiful? Why do you want to look beautiful? By the way, guys, I want you to look handsome. Why, though? Why? Number one, I hope you do it for Jesus. I just got to lose this weight. Why? What for? What's the purpose of you losing weight? I hope it's God. Your health. Number two, if it's for your husband and wife, if you're married. Are you listening to me? Girls, ladies, there's nothing wrong with wanting to look beautiful. But I hope to God it's for a spiritual, godly man that you marry one day. And not to dress sexy to get the attention or a tattoo to get some guy's attention. To look like somebody they've seen on MTV. To look like somebody they've seen in a magazine. To look like somebody where you know with a man the lust and a boy lust and a girl lust. And you can look, nothing wrong with looking attractive. Nothing's wrong with looking attractive as long as you want to do it for the right reason, for God. Look, girls, if it's your attitude that you want to look beautiful for God, number one, okay? Number two, you're looking for a man, a specific man that is a soul winner, that loves God, that tithes and gives and come to church and to sit by your side. They'll help you raise the children. They'll love the wife like I love my wife and like Brother Burley loves his wife and like Brother Johnson loves his wife. To get a Christian man. To get a godly man that will work 7 years, 14 years if he had to for you, like a Jacob did. Is that it? Or just to get attracted so some guy can flirt with you? We forget some of these guys that go out and flex their muscles. They wear the wife beaters and show their muscles and tattoos. We forget. We forget that the girls are the same way of walking around showing their breasts. Showing parts of their breasts. Their chests. You know how guys flex their muscles? They're flexing their chests. That's why some of them want to wear it real tight. They want it that way. They don't want nothing loose. They want nothing modest. They want it tight because they want to get the eyes of lustful men. Which you start... Your accessory of a person that causes adultery. Your accessory of a person that's committing adultery. Your accessory. You're part of it. You're part of it. You're showing your nakedness. You're showing your thighs. You're showing your nakedness. You're revealing your nakedness when you do it. Whether they be shorts, whether they be a mini skirt, whether it be something tight. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? This is a day where wickedness is prevailing and it is like a stream, like a floods of waters. It's spreading. It's spreading, girls. It's spreading. No, you ought to want to look beautiful for God. You want to look modest and beautiful. Why? That God can track the right spiritual man, the spiritual woman, so you can have a godly marriage one day and a wonderful, blessed family. That's the very reason why. But we're raising up a generation, my friends, and I am telling you, it's an adulterous generation. It's a fornication generation. It's a wicked generation. This is a generation where that's the reason why these teenage girls that can't stay clean, they can't stay pure, some of them. Some of these single ladies can't stay pure, they can't stay clean. Some of these guys can't stay clean. And brother, they're headed towards fornication. They're headed towards adultery. They're dating guys that don't love the Bible. They're dating guys that don't love Jesus. They like guys that don't want to be faithful in church. They're attracted to the earring looking pumps with long hair like a girl. They are attracted to these ball players, got their hair. That's why these guys want to wear these long hair. And look at me as I play football. Look at me, the tattoos. Look at me, I'm the king of the jungle. You ain't no king of the jungle. You ain't the cat's meow. Hello. But this is where we're headed. This is what we're looking at. And we're going to have to respond rightly. They're going to go out and do their thing. But we got to have the right spirit. We're going to have the right spirit. God wants to forgive you. God wants to help you. God wants to restore you. Our ministry, I told you, we plead, and you plead with those on the bus. You plead with those on the bus. You plead with your Sunday school class. You plead and thank God. To God be the praise. Some are going to stay pure. Some are going to stay clean. Some are going to come down the aisle. They're going to holy matrimony. That white dress is going to mean pure. It's not going to be fake. It's not, I'm talking about, they're going to come down virgin. They're going to come down clean. And they're going to get, let me tell you something. It's not going to be something fake. It's going to be real. And they're going to come down. And that first kiss is going to be to that man they marry. That first kiss is going to be the woman that they marry, and to God be the praise. And you got to worry about no other different men and women coming, divorce problems and troubles and heartache and pain and a bunch of hell and fighting and fussing and drunk and dope and liquor and beat on, and they got to worry about all the kind of stuff that's going on. They're going to have good Christian men, good Christian ladies. Praise God. Hallelujah. We save them from the prison. We save them from the jail. We save them from the venereal disease. We've saved them from the broken heart. Here they come. Here they come. Daddy, this is my first kiss. Mama, this is my first kiss. I give my life to this man. I give my life to this woman. Sweet wedding bells. Praise God. I dream of it. I see it. There's not going to be a bunch of nightmares. There's not going to be to God be the praise. They listen to you, Sister Bernie. They listen to you, Brother Pearlie. They listen to you, Brother Johnson. They listen to you, Sister Camille. They listen to you, Jessenia. They listen to all the Sunday school teachers in this room, and they listen to you, Sister Johnson, and they listen to you. And to God be the praise. To God be the praise. Look at them. They're serving God. Look at them. They're in Bible college. Look at them saving their life for God. Look at them as they graduate. Okay. To God be the praise. Wait a minute. Hold it. They didn't listen to Sister Barnett. What do we do? They didn't listen to Pastor Barnett. What do we do, Sister Patrice? They didn't listen to you in your class. What do you do, Brother Burley? They didn't listen to you. What do you do, Sister Barnett? What do you do, Sister Camille? What do you do, Brother Johnson? What do you do, Sister Johnson? What do you do? Christiana, what do you do? What do you teach them? What do you do, Jessenia? What do you do, helpers? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do, helpers? They blow it. I mean, they just blow it. I mean, they just get a bunch of tattoos anyway. They just go to the dope. They go to the stinking club. They good night, look like a bunch of hellions, earrings on their ears. What do you do? I said, what do you do? They have babies out of wedlock. Listen to rap music, hip-hop music. Some adulterers. What do you do? What do you do? Some may even commit murder. What do you do? Some might even go to jail. What do you do? What do you do? They become a bunch of God robbers. What do you do? I'll tell you what we do. We do like Jesus did. And then Jesus said, you that are without sin, cast the first stone. You realize about the grace and mercy of God. It's not us. It's by the mercy and grace of God. We're not addicted to smoking. We're not addicted to the reefer. We're not addicted to the stinking wine. We're not adulterers. We're not in prison or jail, bunch of pedophiles. Hey, it's only by the grace and mercy of God. Brother Bully, don't go out to the stinking tattoo power. Sister Patrice, don't go out to the stinking tattoo power. Sister Barnett, don't go out to the stinking tattoo power. Sister Camille, don't go down to the stinking tattoo parlor. Brother Johnson, don't go back down to the stinking tattoo parlor. Sister Johnson, don't go down to the stinking tattoo parlor. It's by the grace and mercy of God. It's by the grace and mercy of God. Tight britches on, about to explode and pop out. See their figure, every figure of their body, not modest. Could be you. Could be you, ladies. Spirit of God around here has got to be. God, I got to picture him in a modest dress. I got to picture that guy with the getting rid of his earrings. I got to imagine that guy covering his tattoos rather than bragging on him. I got to imagine them in church on Sunday night, and Sunday school, and Wednesday night, and Thursday night. I got to imagine them up and down the streets of Knoxville becoming great soul winners. I got to imagine them tithing and giving, having the Spirit of God. I seen two of them last night at the mall, tight britches, so tight you can blow out of them. Thank God they were not arrested because of immodesty. Thank God God didn't open up hell on them. And I had seen them with their babies. They had their babies, and they could not hardly control their babies. I preached to them right over here. Preached to them. You're going to have a bunch of babies. You're going to fornicate. You're not going to have a decent man. You're going to bring hardship on you. I said, boys, what is sticking wrong with you? You're going to get up. You're going to have a baby with these girls. When I seen them in the mall last night, what do you think I said? You reprobate, wicked, ungodly. How dare you, God, I'll open up hell on you. No. I was so nice to them. I said, oh, come see us. I said, bring these babies. Bring these babies. I said, bring these babies to church. I said, we want you to come and we want you to come and I did what I could do to encourage them, and I didn't have a condemning spirit towards them, and I was very kind and nice to them, and listen, no spiritual Christian man, I screamed, I hollered, I seen it. I seen the tears that will come and the heartache that will come. I seen it. Our ministry has got to be, we got to pray for some godly spiritual husbands. We got to pray for some godly spiritual fathers. We got to pray those girls will come to church and realize that they didn't listen to the preacher. And when they cry at night in tears because of the bad relationships with men, they say, Pastor Barnett was loving me. Sister Barnett was loving me. The spirit we got to have. So my God, help us to help these girls. I want to get them in church. I want to see God bless their future. I want them to know the Spirit of God's got to be tonight. Listen, the Spirit of God's got to be. It ain't time to throw rocks and destroy them and wish hell on them and want a bunch of misery on them. No, our spirit's got to be God. If you were merciful to David and King David, and he committed adultery, and the baby came, and Solomon was born, and he committed murder, and he committed adultery, and a bunch of heartache came upon him, and disease came upon him, and his own kid tried to kill him, and a bunch of hell, and a brother raped the sister, and the brother killed the brother. And our spirit ought to be God. If you use David to read the Psalms, and you didn't kill him, you didn't stone him, I thank God God didn't kill David. I thank God he didn't stone David. I thank God he didn't kill David. I thank God he didn't kill Bathsheba. I thank God he didn't stone Bathsheba. I thank God he didn't stone David. I thank God he didn't. You wouldn't have the Psalms. You wouldn't have the Psalms. You don't know what God's going to do for your life if you let him. You don't know what God's going to do. You gotta have that attitude that God be the praise. God prevented me from doing this stuff here. And I'm gonna use my life for God. I'm gonna love God. I'm gonna love God. David said, to God be the praise. I was a stone. To God be the praise. To God be praised, I was a stone. Your attitude of spirit's gotta be, to God be the praise. To God be the praise. He's been so good to me. I'm going to love Him. Because He saved me from a lot of mess. He saved me from a lot of unnecessary mess. That's your attitude's got to be. God's given you a Christian home, a Christian school. He's given you a Christian college. God's been mighty good to you. Amen. How dare I blow it? How dare I blow it? Don't forget where you come from. Don't forget how good God's been to you. The spirit I want to have around here. Hey, look up here. We could have been the one caught up in the whale. Right? God could have prepared a whale for us, right? God could have prepared a whale for us, right? Hey, God could have prepared a whale. Hey, I know there's many times God could have had a whale for me. Send the whale. Get him, God. Get him, God. Let that big whale be waiting for him. You better be careful. You better be careful, friend. Hello, you got to be careful. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You got to be careful. Jacob. Liar, conniver, deceiver. Jacob. Oh, Jacob. It blows my mind. Liar, conniver. Look what he did to his dad. Jacob. It's dirty pool, brother. It's dirty pool, sister. All the heartache he caused. But oh, how God blessed Jacob. Oh, how God blessed Jacob. God blessed his future. You have any Jacobs in your Sunday school class? I believe we had some here this morning come out of that bus for sure. Some of you say, I know exactly who you're talking about. Connivers. God's been so gracious to Jacob. Joseph's brothers and so on. We can go down the trail. We can go on Rahab the harlot. We can go on so many of them. Abraham the liar. God changed them. They're not going to always be liars. They're not going to always be deceivers. In our church, they're not going to always be God robbers. If we pray, we plead, we have the right spirit. God, don't stone them. Don't stone them, God. Don't kill them. Oh, some of the greatest soul winners, greatest preachers, some of the best of Christians. It's kind of confusing. Today, you got kids that were going to Christian school, Christian college, wonderful life, and they go out. I don't understand it. Maybe you understand it more, and God gives us a little bit of understanding. But they go out and they stick in clubs, and they go out and wreck their lives, and some are in prison, some are in jail, and they were taught the best, taught the greatest. I mean, they had the, you name it, they had it all. But look at their lives that are wrecked and ruined. But then you have these that grew up. They grew up like I grew up, and we got them coming to our church, and they grew up in the projects and poor and a bunch of hell, and they grew up around a bunch of mess and just wickedness, you know? And, not church, not serving God. But now, they're the greatest soul winners. They are the greatest teachers. They're the greatest preachers and preachers' wives. They don't want nothing to do with cigarettes. They don't want to do with liquor. They don't want nothing to do with rap music and hip-hop music. Here am I, used to play all that wicked stuff in nightclubs, make money. And here am I now preaching against them. And then you got those that grew up in a Christian home and colleges. And they grow up and they're on their own and stinking, messed up marriages. We got some Crown College graduated, Hiles Anson, Pensacola. To be honest with you, there is no spiritual man, no spiritual woman. They grew up, and by the way, they're divorced. Divorced! I said divorced! 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 Sitting in Crown College just like you're sitting in Crown College. Just like you're in Hiles Edison College in Pensacola. Well, what do we do? What do I do? I know what you're going to do. I'm going to keep on crying. You do what you want. You do it. You have the attitude if you want. Let God destroy him. Let God kill him. Who cares? Have the attitude. Why should I cry for him? Have that stinking attitude. I refuse to be like that wild crowd that said, crucify him. I want to be the one that says, no, 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 no. Give mercy. Give grace. I want to. I'm not going to be like that crowd that stomp. No, 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 no. 10,000 times. No. I want to be the rose, not the thorn. I want to be the light, not the darkness. I want to be the lily, not the valley. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to be the death. I want to be like the resurrection. I'm telling you, I want to be like Jesus Christ, who pleads for sinners, who died for sinners, who looks for sinners. I don't want to be the one that spreads the garbage on Facebook about the wicked sin. I want to spread it on Facebook. Jesus saves, Jesus grace, Jesus mercy. I don't want to spread bad news. I don't want to spread bad news on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. I want to spread good news. You don't have to go to hell. Good news. Christ rose from the dead. Good news. God can give you a better for life. Good news. God can change your life. Good news. God can take care of your bills. Good news. God can give you another car. Good news. God can give you another house. Good news. You say the government's sticking broke down, shaken down, torn apart. No, no, no. God is good. God will take care of us and shut down. Government may be shut down, but heaven's not shut for the tithers and givers. Good news. He's going to open the windows of heaven for you. Good news. He's going to provide and take care of you. Good news. To the tither. To the giver. Good news. The devil has been messing with our people. I told Brother Pearl, a number of you, I've been noticing you've having spirits today. You have spirits. Yeah, you have spirits. You know I'm talking about spirits. I'm not talking about liquor and down the spirit. The devil been messing with you. So, brother, the devil been messing with our people. I know it. I know it. Brother Paul said yesterday, I believe Brother Paul, one of them said, if you get up and preach and look at your faces, you see what we got to go through looking at you. I know. I know. It ain't easy. But some of you are going to have to learn to smile when you don't want to smile. Some of you, the devil loves it the way you look. And the more you keep showing him, the more he's coming after you. So the best thing to do is smile. Get on that piano and sing and smile. Get up in the choir and sing and smile. Choir, you smile as big as you can. Preacher, you smile as much as you can. Rejoice! Again, I said rejoice. He said it while I was in prison. Rejoice! Again, I said rejoice. He said it after he was stoned. Rejoice! And again, I said rejoice. He said it after they beat him with rods. Rejoice! And again, I said rejoice when he suffered shipwreck. Rejoice! And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. Why don't you give the phone to your mother? Give the phone. Just bring it to her. Bring it to her. Bring her the phone. Bring it to her. Any more? Any other phones? Any other phones? Better thank God a preacher's fighting for you. Better thank God a preacher's fighting for you. Thank God the preacher's fighting for you. It's one reason why I walk up and I'm walking up and down these pews. Reason why I'm walking down the pews. No, no, don't justify it. Covering it up. It ain't going to work, okay? Mama knows I'm trying to help. Mama knows I care about you. It ain't time to justify. Listen to me. It's not only her either. I'm talking about, listen, there's a number of them that are, it's not just you, Deani. I'm talking about, listen, I'm telling you, we are living in a day and age where the devil is after our kids. He's after to destroy our kids. But I am not letting him go down without a fight. I am not going to let you go down without a fight. I'm going to do my best to keep you from the sticking heartache and the pain the devil brings. Mama worked too hard. Daddy worked too hard. Sunday school teachers worked too hard. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what it's going to take. But I'm going to keep crying. I'm going to keep crying. Not just her. You see, it looks like it sometimes. You want to know what? It doesn't surprise me. If my own kids would give me bad spirits, if your own kids would give you bad spirits, Brother Johnson, if your own would give you bad spirits, She says, Camille, if your own will give his bad spirits to you, why don't you think they'll give them to me? You think they're going to love me more than you? No, they're not. I don't want them to. I thank God Almighty you got a mom that'll love you to fight for you. Amen. Or it's only by the grace of God they'll all be sticking messed up. Thank God you got a preacher that cares about you. Well, what are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to ask God to help us to have the right type of spirit around here. We're going to choose the side of Jesus. Not to be accuser, but a deliverer. You kids. Mommy, 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 look what brother did. Daddy, daddy, look what brother did. Nothing's wrong with coming with the spirit of meekness, trying to help your brother or sister, and God pity your stinking soul. You don't say something when you can say something to help them. God pity your soul, knowing the things that they're doing is going to head and wreck their lives. But God pity you also if you come to daddy and mommy because they can get in trouble. So that you can look good. That's wicked. That's ungodly. The Bible says the devil's accuser of the brethren. We don't supposed to have that spirit. We do not have the spirit. Pastor, I'm going to talk with you. I'll talk with you for a minute. Come here. I got to tell you something. I want you to know this is what brother, sister, so-and-so is doing. I want to tell you. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it. This is what they've done. And you could be right. You could be true. My question to you is going to be, have you went to tell that brother, sister his fault along? Like the Bible says? What are you doing? Come and talk to me about it. You're acting like the devil now. You're accusing your brother and sister. Satan accused the brother. If that person doesn't change, have you brought somebody with you? Have you told individuals, your pastor and others in church, have others pleaded with this person? It's wrong to put it all over social network, even if it's true. We're acting like the Sadducees, scribes, hypocrites. We're acting like Pharisees. We're like that wild mob crowd, crucify. Yeah, let us see them nailed to the cross. But thank God somebody will nail you to the cross. But thank God he nailed me to the cross. Oh, long time ago, Jesus could have nailed me to the cross. But he took my sin upon him. He took my pain upon him. He became sin, left heaven, came to this earth. Jesus Christ was spit upon me, torn off his back, and he bled and died and went to hell for me. And God became a man to feel my pain, to feel my suffering, he wants you to know that he loves you, that he's so concerned about you. And I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Every one of us, if you knew the wicked things in your heart, if I knew the wicked things in my heart, if you knew, the Bible says, hey, you want to know what's more deceitful than the devil? Your heart. You want to know, Brother Burley, if we knew how wicked your heart is, if I knew how wicked my, that's why we need Jesus. That's why we need his blood. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why we need God's word. That's the very reason why we need church. That's the very reason why we need preaching. You are one step of committing fornication from committing fornication. You're one step from committing adultery. You're one step from wrecking and ruining your life. You're one step from killing somebody. You're one step of wrecking and ruining your life. You are one step to say, I'm on my own, doing my own thing. You are one step. One step. We are one step away. One step. That's why we got to run tomorrow in the prayer closet. That's why we've got to talk to Him. I know you're busy people. You're very busy. And I know what you're thinking. You say, Pastor, how can I get alone? When can I get alone? At school? At classes? I got work. I got chapel. I got classes. I got work. When can I get alone? I got kids. I have a job of a mama. I mean, I got a business. How about the time that you're in the car alone? How about saying no radio, no phone? It's time now. I mean, Jesus, it's time for us. It's time to meet. Walk with them. Talk with them. Tell them your problems. Tell them you love them. Talk to God. Talk to them. Say, Pastor, if I wait at night before I go to bed, I'll fall asleep. I understand. You get tired, so it's not a good time. I believe sometimes maybe even God gets a chuckle at me. My wife may even chuckle at me. And Brother Burrell said, Patrice, chuckle at you. We're so bold. We get up at 4 and we feel with energy. Look at your clock. Less than 10 minutes, we're snoring. Kneeling. I believe God sometimes chuckles. And so God tells me you need to walk around first. God says you may go up and you get a treadmill first. I try to do it. And I always don't do it. But I encourage you to do it. And I feel so bad sometimes I don't do it. I try to say, good morning, Jesus. Good morning. I try to say, I love you, Lord. Would you help me today? So I can't do it without you. Without Jesus, I can have a heart attack. Sometimes I'll be like you, some of you. Just get up and do your thing. Just doing your thing. Whatever your thing is, doing your thing. You know, there's some people that can't dress themselves. Do you know there's some people that can't dress themselves? Do you know there's some people that can't dress themselves? They can't even move their legs. They can't even put their own pants on. They can't even put their own dress on. Lord, help me to do this today. Lord, help me. They were leaving the Gatlinburg, and they were leaving the festival. And Brother Johnson, they're up in age. They're up in age, Brother Johnson. A lot of them older than you are. Older than I am. Taken out to eternity on that bus. Tire blowout. A tire blowout. Thank God I have my precious wife. To God be the praise, Almighty God. We all could have been, the whole family could have been taken out on the highway. We believe it was a blowout. That could be your wife. That could be your kids. They went to work up there, Washington, D.C. Said their last goodbyes. Didn't even know it. Oh, God, protect my wife. Oh, God, protect my husband. Parent, oh, God, protect my kids. Breathe a prayer for them. Lift them up in prayer. Lift them up in prayer. Pray for them. Pray for them. Lift them up. Pray for Kimberly. Pray for Tim. Don't be too in a rush. Pray for Danny. Pray for Joy. Pray for Becky. Pray for Doom. Do you? Wherever they're at. God help them. Keep them safe. Becky said a car came, slammed right into the bus. Boom, slammed right into the bus. An accident. It could have been different. I could have got the phone call. Tire blew up. Becky's dead. Danny's dead. Dude's dead. Joy's dead. Prayer changes things. I'm just trying to give you an example. Talk with God. Talk with Him. You walk with God. And when you pray like that, I'm going to be honest with you. When you read your Bible like you should, and when you pray like you should, and when you're doing your schoolwork like you should, and you're doing your college work like you should, and you are, I guarantee you, Brother Burley, during this time, government shut down, Sister Teresa, I guarantee you, Brother Burley, stay busy. He's staying busy. I guarantee you, work on the website, whatever he can do, work on the church books. I guarantee this man will put in his hours what he would put in on that government job. And say, God, you've been so good to me. I would have this job if it wasn't for you. I would have my house if it wasn't for you. I would have my car. But I'm going soul winning. I'm staying faithful in church. I'm going to give the tithe. I'm going to give the offering. And knowing there's a shutdown, this man right here has put extra money in the plate, Sister Trees, not even knowing what the future holds. And I know God Almighty has blessed you and will bless you. And I know you ain't got time to spread gossip on the Facebook. He ain't got time to get on the Instagram and to get on the Twitter. Trying to get a tweet of Jesus and loving Jesus. And trying to get a tweet from heaven. I think he's going to try to tweet somebody. He's trying to find time just to text somebody. Return a text. Hello? Look. When you're sold out for God and you're pleading for sinners and you're a soul winner, know who the biggest gripers, complainers, and gossipers are in our church? Non-soul winners. When they start ratcheting their tongues, say, how many souls you got saved last week, you said? Say, how much did you put on Facebook you got saved? How many got baptized, you said? How much time you spent out knocking on them doors? I missed it. How many chapters you read in the Bible? Know what the biggest gripers, complainers are? Church skippers. Sunday school skippers. No Bible readers. Heart deceitful above all. You know what's deceitful, more deceitful than Satan? Your heart. Your heart. You know who's the biggest deceiver in the world? Is what you, the person you look in the mirror. You. Me. You ain't my deceiver. I'm the biggest deceiver. Satan is not the biggest deceiver. You are. I am. We deceive our own selves. That's why we need to read the book. That's why we need to read the book. Because we get in the book. God, we know truth. The devil's a liar. Amen. So you're serving God. You're loving God. You can smile. Why? Everything's going to be okay. Amen. How do you think Paul survived with shipwreck? How do you think he would survive with beaten with rods? How do you think Paul survived his best friends and family forsook him? Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Would you shake my hand? Thank you very much. You're here. Thank you. Thank you. Sir? Can I shake? Oh, I'm glad you're here. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, madam. Thank you for coming. Thank you. Paul said, all forsook him. Walked out of him. Cesenia, as a preacher, had a piano player, took his shoes off, walked out barefooted, and said goodbye. This is my last piano player. Walked out. Said, so I quit. See ya. Gone. Gone. How you like that one, Ruby? Hey. Hey, I got a lot better. Somebody had a lot worse. Thank God y'all here tonight. Thank God my wife's here. Thank God my children. Paul said they all left. No man's due. But the Lord stood by my side. Amen. Oh, Luke's with me now. Amen. John Mark's prophet now. Let me tell you something, friend. Life is filled with heartbreak. That's why, Kiki, I mentioned Sister Barnett. Kiki, pass it out in chapel. And I want to mention to you, I'm talking about Kiki. I'm talking about falling to the ground. I'm talking about right there in chapel. Sister Barnett passed out. I mean, passed out in chapel. I'm talking about went to the hospital. That's why I share it with you, Kiki. Because God seen her through it all. Seen her through it all. Sister Barnett was singing in the choir. Sister Barnett passed out in chapel. I loved her. That hurt me. That's my girlfriend. We were not married. That's my girlfriend. So back in the 80s, the early 80s, my girlfriend's passing out in chapel. My girlfriend's passing out in chapel. We'll go see your mind. In the hospital. We'll go see your mind. Mother has a stroke. We'll go see your mind. Problems. Man, I had to pay my own bill. Project boy had to pay his own bill. Project boy. I have no daddy or mama that send me money. Thank God my wife, her father, would give her some money. She'd help me out sometime buying my books. He'd send her a check. Had a good girlfriend. She helped me out. Kiki is rough. She's smiling. Kiki, smiling. Biggest joker in town would be Sister Barnett. Smile on her face. Of course, hurt. Paul, with all that he went through, had to maintain his right spirit. He maintained the right spirit and tried to cheer. And he's the one in prison trying to cheer up the church. Smile. Yeah. How could that be? How could that be? He had the right spirit. He had the right spirit. Paul's spirit was after sinners. Paul's spirit was a restorer. Forgive that, brother. Restore that, brother. Of course, he knew the judgment of God. And he pronounced the judgment of God. But Paul, like Jesus, rather for them to be restored than destroyed. Paul, rather for them to be delivered than to go to jail. Of course, let Satan destroy their flesh. But that was after he did everything he can do. And the only reason why he said, let the devil after the flesh, is so that he can get right with God. And he did get right with God in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He no longer continued sleeping with his father's wife. He no longer committed fornication with his father's wife. He no longer lived a hellish life. And he wrote the church to forgive this person. He didn't put it all on Facebook if he had one. He didn't put it all on Twitter. He didn't text everybody. This is what you hear on Facebook. And this is sad. Such and such person in church goes to my church. Now watch how wicked this is. She's pregnant. She's 6 months. That's dirty. That's wicked. That is low. And such and such one is the daddy. They're not married. Which side are you on? The devil? Or Jesus? Even if it's true, the Bible says Satan's the accuser of the brethren. Ain't right, beloved? You know what the Bible says? Stay out of people's business. Don't be a busybody. Don't be a busybody in everybody's business. Don't try to be police officer and security of everybody. You got enough to deal with your own life. I beg you this week. I plead with you. Ask God to help us to have the right spirit. Okay? The right spirit in our life, in our church. Sister Barnett, God seen her while she was wearing pants. He seen her in a modest dress. He seen her as a preacher's wife. How do you see him? How do I see him? What am I looking at in your life? God sees so much more. And I want you to pray for him this week. I don't look at him to stay this way. I look to see what God's going to do. And I rejoice what God's going to do. Because I know God is a deliverer. He's not a want to be a destroyer. We cry. We pray. We beg God. We go to the Lord. There's no telling what God can do. I have a lot of dreams. A lot of dreams. Does dreams come true? They sure do. Time's running out. I'm still dreaming. I have so many dreams. Please don't look at yourself. Please don't look at yourself. Please don't look at yourself the way you look at it. Look at it the way God looks at it. Okay? We can be so discouragers. We can be so discouragers. What did you just say, Sister Patrice? When Brother Burley gave you the word, the government shut him down. And his job and the difficulties. What he needs. And I believe you did. And I believe you did, Sister Patrice. I don't believe you said we're through. I don't believe you said we're going to lose a house. We're going to lose our vehicles. The kid's going to get kicked out of college. I hope you didn't have the attitude. I don't believe you did. I believe you said, Burley, there's a God in heaven. And I see what God's going to do. And how God's going to take care of us. I got to see it. I got to see it. Who's that spiritual man? Who's that spiritual man that you see that will treat you like a queen? That'll love your children and help you? That'll work so hard and money and give you money while you make money? Who is that spiritual man that you love, that loves God, that will take care of you and provide and care and read his Bible and praise and loves Jesus and dresses sharp? He dresses sharp. He dresses sharp. He dresses sharp. He dresses for church. He reads his Bible. He prays. He goes soul winning. He gets souls saved. He tithes. He gives. He prays with your children. You ain't got to worry about him, where he's at, what he's doing. Where's that godly Christian woman? Where are they that you've been praying about? Where are they? It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Hey, it's coming. If you wait, it's coming. If you wait, it's coming. It's sharp. I mean, good night, Brother Burley. You ain't got your shirt all cut, hanging out, and got enough character to got a tie on, and ain't bagging your pants, and my earring in your ear, ain't got no rap music, hip hop music. All right? Come on, talk to me now. Ain't cussing. Come on, talk to me now. Come on, ain't cussing. Come on, what is he talking about? What's in his mouth? Don't take long, girls. What's he talking about? God, Jesus? Dream big. Hey, dream big. Do you see it? Oh, you have the attitude, oh, I'm going to be old as grandma before I find a good one. I'll be granny. Hey. Let me tell you some stories of those that got married quick and they got their king they thought was king. Yeah, king of the devil. And they got theirs. You want to hear some stories? You want to hear some horror stories? They got married because they wanted to just have sex? You want to hear some nightmares? You want to hear some nightmares? It's best to wait on God. And the best friend you can make is not your boyfriend, it's Jesus. Until you get that man that God has for you. And they're handsome. Not as all handsome as me. Now, I'm just joking. I had one this morning. I had one this morning on the bus. I had one this morning on the bus. He says, oh, and you do have some hair. He says, they don't got to look like me with no hair, okay? They have some hair, okay? Listen. You couldn't pay me to have a bunch of hair. You can pay. I don't want. I just get up and go. Got more time to read my Bible and pray. My wife is satisfied with me. She loves me. I mean, she loves me. She loves me who I am. I'm not. Come on. I'm not expecting you guys to look like me. Okay? Girls, I'm not expecting you to want somebody to look like me. But I want you to find somebody you're attracted to that loves God, that loves you. Okay? All right? Are you understanding what I'm saying? You understanding what I'm saying? Okay? All right? I want you to have the right type of spirit. And that's going to come with walking with God, talking with God, having the right relationship with God. Or you're going to have the wrong type of spirit like the scribes, the hypocrites, and the stinking talkers, condemners. Condemners. Our church ain't going to do anything. Pastor running everybody off. Whole stinking thing is falling apart. All crazy stinking talk. They won't mention the great blessing of having good night. These Bible college students that are raised up for God. The young people that are staying clean, staying pure, singing for God, serving God, going sowing, tithing and giving. People getting saved. Buses running, vans running, rescue mission ministry. Preachers getting up and preaching. And I stick his run your sticking mouth. Oh, we're going about your financial problems. And hey, what you tell them? God's helping us with our mortgage. What you tell them? God's helping us keep the lights on. What you tell them? God Almighty is keeping the church going. What you tell them? God is helping the preacher to preach. He's weeping. He's crying. He's praying. What you tell them? How God has blessed us with some young ladies that wear dresses and wear a bunch of bushes. What you tell them about those that listen? Don't listen. Rip me. Hip hop music. Rap music. They're not fornicating. They're not hurrying around. What you tell them about our Sunday school teachers? What you tell them about our van drivers? What you tell them about our bus drivers? Somebody shout. Somebody say amen. What you tell them? Our churches all around Knoxville, their lights are off. Hey, OBC, where's your people you had this morning? Hey, OBC, where's your people you had this morning? Where are they at? These lights that are shut down. Parking lots are empty. And the lights are off. And people can't even come back to a church at night. Why don't you brag on? Why don't you brag on the lives of God's touch? Why don't you brag on a people? Brag on the people. Why don't you talk about the good? why don't you brag on the good? Why don't you brag on Celia, her age? Going off for God. College. State college. Striving to shine away. Sister Bragg and Heather, striving to live for Jesus.